Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Finds Rafinha, who's got space to turn. João Félix, Lewandowski and Cancelo ahead of him. He's found João Félix. There's a chance here for João Félix to score. João Félix has done exactly what he wanted to do. He has scored against Atletico Madrid. It's Barcelona 1, Atletico 0. João Félix with his second goal of the season.
Hello everyone and welcome to La Liga Lowdown. It's match day 15. We're almost halfway through the season now. I'm Matt Clark. I'm delighted to be joined by Paco Pollitt. Paco, what a fantastic weekend we had.
Yeah, very interesting. Actually, with many, many things to speak about in the following minutes, because we just finished only a while ago the massive game between Barca and Atleti de Madrid, which was very entertaining. I think it was one of the best of the league so far. Plenty of pace, you know. Moments of domination by both sides. The first half was Barca's. João Félix scored with all of the spiciness and controversy, which is going to follow in the next few days. And also,
had to be
Atleti
him.
In the second half, Atleti improved quite a lot, and Iñaki Peña was the savior. So, yeah, plenty of things to speak about in the next few minutes.
Well, let's stick with that game then, because, like you say, a very important game. In the top four race, or potentially for challenging for the title, with Real Madrid and Girona locked at the top, this was a massive game. If you know, the loser really would have been cut quite adrift. As it is, Barça got that crucial 1-0 victory. The old Cholo Unotherismo, the 1-0 victory that Cholo used to absolutely love. Now it's become Xavi's favourite result. And it was, once again, as you say, João Félix with a goal and Iñaki Peña with some vital, spectacular saves towards the end to keep his clean sheet. And as it stands then, Barca 4 points off the top and 3 clear of Atletico. So they give themselves a chance to keep fighting for the title.
Yeah, in Barca's case, I think that there was a much higher level of need in this game, whereas for Atletico have been so far excelling in plenty of games this season. So maybe I think that that neediness by Barca showed, especially in the first half. I think that the motivation was off the charts, especially for João Félix and a couple of other players. And you could see in the first half, maybe Lewandowski with a bit of anxiety in order to try and score, because he hasn't had the best season so far. But yeah, overall, I think that Barca were dominating in the first half hour was absolutely theirs, with a couple of very, very clear chances for them until João Félix was able to score the opener, which was ultimately the goal which allowed them to pick up the 3 points. And Atleti were outpaced, I believe, because they saw how ball possession was snatched from them, and Barca had their things, you know, very, very clear at this point. I think that it was maybe one of the games which Xavi has prepared better this season, both in La Liga and in the Champions League, and it showed, especially in the first half. But then, as you said, things changed dramatically in the second half. Barca, maybe because of the, you know, tiredness, performance, stamina, I don't know, they slowly became a much more counter-offense side, because Atleti were just charging ahead, trying to generate some danger. Griezmann was becoming a much more relevant protagonist in the second half, and that's when Iñaki Peña just became massive in a couple of big saves in the last few minutes. You know, he had a handball sport. I'm talking about the sport, not the action. Save to Memphis in the, I believe, the last minute or the last few minutes, and also that set piece, that libre directo, which he was able to just scratch from the angle when the goal was already, you know, inside. And that save was one of the most spectacular of the weekend. And I think it's pretty remarkable the fact that the youngster, the young keeper, is performing so well with some very big shoes to fill as Ter Stegen. So Barca missed quite a few clear chances in the last 15-20 minutes. I think that they had a couple of very clear counters with Lamine Yamal not really choosing the best option. Also, Lewandowski wasn't really on target tonight. Also, Ferran. I don't know. Barca could have scored the second one at any moment in the last 15-20 minutes, but they didn't. So that kept the suspense till the end. But ultimately, you know, the 3 points were remained in Montjuic, which is very relevant for Barca, very important, because if they want to keep up with both Real Madrid and Girona's pace, I think that they just can't let any single point to fly away from their games.
Indeed, and Atletico do have the game in hand, but they are 7 points off the top spot. So yeah, they'll need to be almost perfect from here to be in the fight. But stranger things have happened. Moving on then, we had the biggest result of the weekend came at San Mamés. And I mean, we know Marta, we know that Ernesto Valverde's side are scoring a lot of goals for fun this season, but they're up against the Rayo side that had drawn at the Bernabeu and had held Barca last weekend too, or a couple of weekends ago. But Athletic ran riot and beat them 4-0. Paco, how impressive was this?
Very, very impressive. I think that Rayo, which are maybe one of the teams with more pace in La Liga, they usually don't have pacing issues, you know, and are not sluggish whenever playing the ball. They were just outpaced and outrun by Athletic Club, which are flying at this point. And actually, you were speaking about Atletico Madrid earlier. They should, as we often say in our La Liga Lowdown chat, ojo with Athletic Club, because they are only 3 points away from Atletico Madrid.
Yep.
And, you know, La Liga is becoming suddenly much more interesting in those, you know, teams fighting for the Champions League spots. We have said again and again this season so far that that fourth place is going to be up for grabs. But, you know, I didn't imagine that Girona was going to be so far away from Atletico at this point. So Atletico shouldn't relax and should keep winning if they really want to stick to their top four tradition every single year. Whereas for Athletic Club, you know, this game was almost perfect in every single way, with Guruceta scoring the opener very, very early in the game. Later, when Pachaspino scored the own goal for Rayo, I think the game was over. But Athletic Club had fun in the second half, with both the Williams brothers scoring one goal apiece, and, you know, Valverde enjoying the game from the sidelines, the fans enjoying the hell out of the win. Overall, everything went well for Athletic Club. Everything went crashing down for Rayo Vallecano, and, you know, they will have to adjust a couple of things in order to improve their performance, because they surprised many, many fans at the opening 5-6 games, but Rayo have, you know, dipped their level in the last few games, so they have to improve quite a lot in order to be up to the Royal Antics.
Yeah, Nico Williams celebrating his new contract with that goal, and as you say, Rayo have been hard to score against for a number of weeks since that 7-0 against Atleti back in August, but this was quite a thumping for them. Your club, Paco Valencia, they went to Montilivi to take on the co-leaders, and it was going well because Hugo Duro put them ahead in the 56th minute. But, of course, Girona are the kings of the comeback, and it was that man, Cristian Stuani, who turned the game around for them and gave Girona yet another 3 points to keep pace with Real Madrid at the top of the table.
Couto la pone, gol del Girona! Gol, 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 gol del líder! Gol, 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 gol de Stuani! Gol, 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 gol del líder! Uruguayo!
Como siempre.
Vuelve a asistir desde la derecha. marcha Couto, vuelve a remachar el uruguayo para poner patas arriba la casa del líder. Ya no es un sueño, es una realidad.
Yeah, I think it's always a pity when you see a team as young as Valencia, who they, you know, they give their 100% and their absolute best in every single game. At least they try, you know, most of the time. And you see them, you know, coming crashing and burning thanks to the fact that the squad isn't as deep as, you know, the standard team in La Liga. There's a massive problem, you know, from the get-go for Valencia this season. Because most of the squad is made up of youngsters coming through the ranks from the under 19, so the B side or the B team. And actually that makes subs coming in the second halves very, very tough for Rubén Baraja. And in this case, I think the game plan was going smoothly for Baraja, because the objective was trying to keep Girona at bay on the offense and, you know, take advantage of a single chance or a couple of single chances throughout the game. And that's exactly what Valencia were doing with that Hugo Duro goal, taking advantage of a mistake at the back by Girona. And, you know, at that point in the game, it was everything set for Valencia to, you know, just take advantage of another counter and score the second one and call it a day. But, you know, Valencia did their performance because of the, you know, just tiredness of the starting players. And the main issue with Valencia is that the players coming in from the bench are not at the same level. So subs were done late by Baraja because he doesn't really trust the bench. Whereas for Girona, you know, they had the chance of giving some confidence to Jan Couto, for example, on the wing. And as you said, Cristian Estuani coming off the bench. But Dobbik was left as number nine. So Girona were playing with two number nines, two true pure number nines, Dobbik and Estuani, and they took advantage of having so many people inside the box. Jan Couto was able to take advantage on a play on the run on the wing. His cross was excellent, and Estuani scored the leveler. He leveled the game, and later he took advantage of a Cristian Mosquera own goal to turn things around. And they had more chances, but, you know, Mamardashvili was quite proficient throughout the game. All in all, at this point, Girona seem unstoppable at Montilivi. I think that they feel very, very confident, and also they've seen a couple of sold-out crowds in attendance in the last few games, and that shows the level of confidence and hope which is running around Girona's fan base. So, overall, a pity for Valencia because they tried their best and they were very close to surprise everyone, but Girona at this point are absolutely almighty, especially when playing at home.
Indeed, still the highest scorers in the division. Well, the team that are top on goal difference is Real Madrid. They're playing against Granada's side, who are still stuck in the bottom three. First game under their new coach, of course. Paco, it was a fairly run-of-the-mill victory for Madrid, and Rory Barlow was at the Bernabeu, so he gave us his thoughts on that game.
This was not a game that will live long in the memory for either Real Madrid fans or Granada fans or the man behind my shoulder who made two noises during the match. One was applause, the other was yawning before he promptly left in the 80th minute. But it was a win for Real Madrid and three more points to put the pressure back on Barcelona ahead of their game against Atleti. And if there's two things that can be taken away from this from Real Madrid, first of all, it has to be Brahim Diaz, who was not only in sensational form, but is sustaining the creativity of this Real Madrid attack right now. You have Rodrigo, who's obviously in flying form. You have Jude Bellingham. But the fact that they can call on Brahim as an extra resource, somebody who's fresh, who's sharp, and seems to find an angle for every pass or an angle for every run. He's calm on the ball and he's poised, and his presence during this game made it a lot easier for the Real Madrid side that, despite dominating and despite almost seeming to come forward at ease, weren't really altogether that creative. They missed one or two chances, but overall Brahim was the star of the show for me in a game that, as I say, was defined more by Granada, as I'll come on to, than Real Madrid necessarily. And the other thing is that what a luxury it is to have a player like Fede Valverde. If you're missing Eduardo Camavinga or Elian Tchouaméni, two of the best pivots, two of the best deeper midfielders in the world, and then you can rely on Fede Valverde to come in and not only hold his own defensively, but I don't think we can really talk about his passing as kind of below a level from his colleagues right now. I mean, he's probably not quite as incisive as Tchouaméni or Kroos, but he kept the moves flowing, he knew exactly where to be, he moved well, and he found his teammates with quite a few switches. And the fact that he's there and he's able to fill in and slot into that role, and Toni Kroos and Valverde were able to control this game, it's tremendous news for Real Madrid, because in theory, that's supposed to be a weakness. And perhaps it was more to do with Granada, but so far, so very good for Fede Valverde. Alexander Medina, you come into the job, the Granada job, and you have a game against the Real Madrid at the Bernabeu, who are under strength, who are missing eight players. And if I had to sum them up in one word, it would be passive. I don't recall them having a shot. They may well have done, but it certainly didn't feel like it. And they really didn't put any pressure on Real Madrid at all. I mean, they had some nice pieces of interplay, but this was a side that not only looks like they were playing Real Madrid, but looked as if they didn't have any belief that they could get anything out of this game. And yes, okay, we shouldn't judge Medina off Real Madrid, and we'll get more of an idea of what he's about down the line. But it was a very, very disappointing performance from Granada, who perhaps gave Real Madrid the least difficulty this season, in my view.
Thanks, Rory, for that. That's all we've got time for in part one, but when we come back, we'll review the rest of the weekend's action. Stay with us.
In the market for investment-worthy bags, watches, and fine jewelry, Rebag is the answer. Rebag is a luxury resale platform where each piece is carefully inspected by experts to ensure quality and authenticity. Use Rebag to buy and sell finds from the world's top brands, including Louis Vuitton, Chanel, and Cartier. Head to Rebag.com to get 10% off your first purchase with code REBAG10. Shop today at Rebag.com. That's REBAG.com. And use promo code REBAG10 for 10% off your first purchase.
Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds. Recently, I asked Mint Mobile's legal team if big wireless companies are allowed to raise prices due to inflation. They said yes. And then when I asked if raising prices technically violates those onerous two-year contracts, they said, what the f*** are you talking about, you insane Hollywood ass f-. So to recap, we're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month. Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Welcome back to La Liga Lowdown. We had a fantastic encounter at the Ramon Sanchez Pizjuan on Sunday evening. Sevilla up against Villarreal, two new managers this season. For one, it hasn't been going so well at all, of course, Diego Alonso. But for Villarreal, everything Martino has touched so far has turned to gold. But they weren't able to win this game in controversial circumstances. Sevilla took the lead late in the game, Kike Salas in the 75th minute. El Comandante Morales equalised just a couple of minutes after that. His seventh goal in Marcelino's four games, seven of the nine have been scored by José Luis Morales. They thought they had a winner though, Paco, but no.
I think they were absolutely stolen, you know. So I'm sorry for Sevillistas listening to the podcast, but I think that the VAR, you know, showed Villarreal the short end of the stick with this call, both VAR and the referee, because Ben Bretton's goal was absolutely legal in my book. I think that, you know, the defender tripped himself, and I don't know what the ref was watching over at the screen, but definitely it wasn't a goal to be disallowed. I think that the call was absolutely rubbish. So I understand Marcelino, who was very, very angry after the game. I also understand Diego Alonso, who, you know, just moonwalked his way out of the question when he was asked about this, because he didn't really want to speak about it. But yeah, Villarreal fans are right to be very angry about what happened. But again, you know, this kind of scoreline doesn't really help anyone, especially Sevilla, who were playing at home. And, you know, they were on top for a couple of minutes before Morales was able to score the goal, which leveled the scoreline, with a bit of luck, by the way, with a rebound inside the box, which left the easy tap-in for El Comandante. As you said, he's become a crucial player for Marcelino in his first couple of games as Villarreal's manager. And I think that bringing him back from the proverbial dead, because Morales didn't count for both Quique Setién at the beginning and later with the following manager, I think that Marcelino was smart enough to just deliver some confidence to Morales, and he's you know, answering back in pure El Comandante fashion. So yeah, overall interesting game, plenty of neediness from both sides, and yeah, Villarreal are a bit more, you know, relaxed in this sense, because they managed to pull off a couple of positive results in the last couple of weeks, and they are already looking down on the relegation spots from afar, whereas for Sevilla are just unable to win a single game under Diego Alonso, who is the worst revulsivo, you know, the worst the worst change in, yeah, in the bench, I believe, in the whole 21st century for Sevilla, because in his first six games, I believe he hasn't won a single one. So for a team as big as Sevilla, that is just unacceptable.
Yeah, his only win at Sevilla so far came in the Copa against sixth-tier side. So
yeah,
every game against the equivalent level team has been either a draw or a defeat. And of course, the Champions League hopes hanging by a thread after that dramatic defeat in midweek, which of course you spoke about with Rory. Mm. On to the next game, a different kind of 1-1, but a one that equally doesn't really favour anybody. Real Sociedad went to El Sadar and found themselves 1-0 down very early on. Moy Gomez taking advantage of Ante Budimir's assist to open the scoring. Umar Sadiq continued his little boost of form as he equalised before half-time, but it stayed 1-1 and leaves Real Sociedad 2 points off Athletic in fifth and a whole five behind Atletico in fourth. So for all the good work they're doing in the Champions League itself, they're going to struggle to qualify for it again, aren't they?
Yeah, because, you know, there are many teams and the Champions League spots are up for grabs, especially the fourth. We'll see what happens with Girona, but if Girona keep this form, I think that the top four spots are going to be more or less already delivered before the first round of games is over and we get to January. But yeah, they need to keep fighting for that, and they have Umar Sadiq as their secret weapon, because last season Sadiq was injured in his first or second game as a Real Sociedad player, and he spent the whole season out for that injury, a knee injury, and he's slowly coming back, and he has been massive for Real Sociedad in the last couple of games. I think that Imanol Aguacil wanted to give him minutes slowly, and the way he erupted just a couple of days ago with that amazing goal. Also, the one he scored against Osasuna was brilliant, with a left foot strike into the angle. I don't know, he has quality, he has pace, he's a great striker. I think that he excelled back in the day when he was playing for Almeria, and he should do very, very well and be the perfect assistant, or the perfect complement in this case to other different strikers like, you know, Oyarzabal and so on. Whereas for, I don't know, Osasuna, they are in a current slump of form. After doing so well last season, I think that they are just unable to keep the standards as high as last season, which to some people might seem disappointing, but I think that the whole Osasuna fan base really know what they do have and what they, you know, aspire to become. And the way to go is just getting to 40 as quickly as possible, 40 points. In order to do that, they will need to win more games at El Sadar, which back in the day was a stronghold, and nowadays it isn't. So, yeah, they will come around. I think that they will improve. You know, they have Yagoba Arrasate, which is an absolutely amazing manager, and eventually they will win games once again as the home side. But at this point, you know, Real Sociedad is a Champions League contender. It was a very, very balanced game, so overall, 1 point apiece was fair.
Yeah, only two sides have taken fewer points at home than Osasuna, so you're absolutely right to point that out. They are in a bit of a slump, but we'll see what Yagoba Arrasate can do to avert that decline. Friday night saw Las Palmas take on Getafe in a very much one of purists versus anti-football heroes. Las Palmas against Getafe, Pimienta against Pepe Bordalas. And it went the way of the purists. Las Palmas winning 2-0. Julian Araujo scored his first goal in La Liga and then rounded off late in the piece through Christian Herrera. Getafe were down to 10. For much of that second half. Paco, what did you make of this game? Not quite champagne football from Getafe this week.
No, it wasn't, but at the same time, I think that maybe the red card for Alderete was a bit too harsh, you know, in my book. There were a couple of reds this weekend, also the Bellerin one in the Betis game. I think they were a bit too harsh. They might be a by-the-book red, but I think that the referees shouldn't be as strict in a number of calls, because they just shoot down the whole game, you know. And in this case, Getafe were just unable to come back after the opening goal by Las Palmas in the latter minutes of the first half, because you know, it was the second or third minute of the second half when Alderete was sent off. So they became, you know, just a puppet at Las Palmas' mercy. They had a goal disallowed for an offside, and ultimately Cristian Herrera was the one to polish the game in the injury time. So, yeah, Las Palmas were very comfortable playing against a 10-man side. Bordalas was just unable to shake things up in the second half. So, yeah, I spoke earlier this week in the premium podcast, midweek premium podcast for subscribers. By the way, guys, you should subscribe to our Patreon for a fiver a month if you haven't done yet. I'm very, very disappointed at you. Don't make Paco sad, please. I talked about the excellent run by Bordalas' Getafe in the last 2 months. They were just unbeaten and unstoppable. And yeah, Paco spoke about them and they lost the following game. That often happens quite a lot. So yeah, unlucky for Bordalas. And García Pimienta was happy because he did win, and also he did in the style that he really favours.
Yes, and it allowed Las Palmas to move above Getafe. And they are now eighth, only 4 points off the European spot. So if it wasn't for Girona, we'd really be talking about Las Palmas as the revelation team of the season. Already 6 wins, 21 points after just 15 games. It looks as if they're going to survive pretty comfortably. So hats off to them. Final couple of games to review before we move on to a couple of other bits and pieces. There were 2-0 draws. You mentioned the red card for Bellerin there. Almeria, on the face of it, holding Betis to a 0-0. Is a pretty decent result for them, but of course they need wins big time. And of course, Mallorca Alaves, probably one of the most nil-nils possible you could have predicted between these two sides. Mallorca
boring
just
game. Yeah.
cannot seem to get anything going, especially at home this season. So yeah, 2 nil-nils, which for many different reasons and teams, none of them are going to be happy with that. But probably Alaves the most content of all four clubs, I would suggest.
Yeah, whenever they go on the road, picking up a point is positive for Luis García, which is enjoying one of the best moments of Alaves after coming up from second division. They are mid-table, you know, in a pretty relaxed spot, whereas for Mallorca are still very needy. You know, the patience being shown by Mallorca's board to, you know, Javier Aguirre has been pretty remarkable, but if they don't win games, that patience is going to be cut short at some point. So, yeah, it was a boring game, very balanced, few chances here and there. Doubts in Mallorca, when Ricci doesn't score, it seems nobody is able to do that, even Abdon Prats and so on. But, yeah, let's see what happens with Mallorca. If they aren't able to win at home, they are going to struggle quite a lot this year. Whereas for the Almeria Betis 0-0 game, the Bellerin's red card was harsh, but at the same time avoidable, because the challenge was a bit nasty, and it really hobbled Betis' chances very, very early. And later, Almeria was just unable to score, off target many times, and also when they were accurate, Ruiz Silva was there to, you know, to make some great saves. So overall, I think that Pellegrini was, even though he wasn't happy with Bellerin, he was happy with the outcome of the game.
Indeed. Yeah, another disappointing result, really, on the back of their defeat in midweek against Sparta Prague. So a bit of work for Betis to do in the European front. Yeah, Mallorca, the draw specialist, 8 draws this season out of 15 games, more than any other side in La Liga. Monday night sees an absolutely crucial game at Balaidos, mm-hmm. as Celta in 18th host Cadiz in 17th. Just 3 points separate them. So Celta, were they to win, would really drag Mallorca and Cadiz right into trouble. But Paco, we're going to finish with a bit of international chat, because we had the draw for the European Championships in Germany next summer, and Spain, having worked hard to get themselves in pot one, ended up getting the group of death anyway. El Grupo de Muerte. They got Croatia, Albania and Italy. So Paco, what's your reaction to that group?
Well, I think that Italy are going to, you know, try to come out with guns blazing after missing the last World Cup, which was one of the most dishonorable events for Italian football in quite a while. And they are going to be sure, you know, immense and very, very tough foe to beat. Croatia, back in the day, I remember 2016, also in another Euro, when Luka Modric's Croatia were able to beat Spain to submission and, you know, eventually kick them out of the tournament, and also Albania. So, yeah, exactly not the best draw for Spain, even though my policy always in these kind of tournaments is that if you want to get as far as possible and if you want to be a real championship contender, you have to face absolutely everyone. So, yeah, Italy, nobody wanted them. It was, you know, Spain's unlucky draw, the one to get them picked out. So, yeah, we'll have to just pray that every single one of the players gets fit to that tournament. Unfortunately for Spain, I think that Gavi is going to be one, you know, huge blow in the midfield. But, yeah, let's hope for the best. I think that Spain have the quality and have the team in order to beat all of these sides in a single game. Definitely, it would be a tragedy if Spain are unable to move on to the next round, but it's going to be trickier than expected.
Indeed, but that's a long way in the future. For now, it's Copa del Rey round midweek again, so we'll have plenty of chat in the midweek pod about all of that, and then looking ahead to match day 16 as we are into December. So Paco, it's nearly Christmas. Thank you for joining us tonight. It's been a pleasure.
It's been a pleasure too. Unfortunately for me, I was just unable to set up the Christmas tree this weekend. But I expect the following one to be able to do that, because if not, you know, we'll be soon into the 25th and all the work will be still to be done. So yeah, unfortunately for my Christmas tree, Valencia's defeat just conditioned my mood throughout the whole weekend. So let's hope that the following one against Getafe, Valencia-Getafe, is a bit better.
Indeed. Well, listeners, make sure you subscribe and upgrade to get all the updates on Paco's Christmas prep. And as he said earlier, don't make Paco sad. So thanks for listening, and we'll speak to you again soon. Adios.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free, or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.